Now, cat got your tongue, wench, he said quietly. Well, no matter. I'll have to kill you anyway. He swung the sword at her in a vicious arc. Moments ago, before she'd made the choice that swept her magically from Tasmarin, from the green forest of Arcady, she'd thought she might be better off dead rather than leaving them behind, leaving him behind. Now she discovered that her body didn't want to die just yet. She threw herself backwards, not caring where she landed, as long as it was out of reach of the sword. She screamed, and then swore, as the blade shaved along her arm, to thud into the kist she had fallen over. She kicked out, hard, catching her attacker in the midriff, knocking the breath out of him in an explosive gasp. Trying to find breath, he still pulled weakly at the sword, now a good 2-finger widths deep into the polished timber of the kist. Meb wasn't going to wait. But it looked as if she wasn't going to run very far either. Her scream, and possibly the swearing, had called others, and the great iron-studded doors were flung open as men-at-arms with bright swords and scale armor rushed in. As she turned to run the other way, her passage was blocked by a sleepy-looking man, also with a sword, emerging from the only other doorway. There wasn't a window to be seen. She wanted one badly. And then she saw one, in the recessed wall to her left. She just plainly hadn't spotted it before. She ran to it, and realized it wasn't going to help much. In the moonlight, she could see that it opened onto 100 feet of jagged cliff, to an angry sea, frothing around sharp rock teeth far below. Some of the soldiers surrounded the man she'd kicked. They blocked her escape, too, but you couldn't really call it surrounding her. Not unless that included getting as far from her as possible while not leaving the other prisoner or the room. The man who had looked so sleepy moments before didn't anymore. His sword was up, ready, his eyes wide as they darted from the window to her, seemingly unsure which was more shocking. "Who are you?" he asked. There was something weaselly about him that made her very wary about answering, in case her words were twisted against her. And why did they all want to know something she wasn't too sure of herself? There was a narrow bridge across the void. Along it walked a black and white sheepdog, followed by a black dragon. The dog never looked back at the dragon, just forward, his questing written into every line of his body, from the mobile pointed ears to the feathered tail. The bridge itself was narrow, made of vast, interlocking blocks of adamantine, or at least that is the way it looked. Reality might be somewhat different, at least to the eyes of a planomancer. Such eyes would see deeper than the ordinary spectra of light, and could see patterns of energy. Fionn, the black dragon, saw it all as the weave of magics that made the bridge between the planes of existence. He knew the bridge was fragile and fraught with danger. That did not stop him walking along it, any more than it stopped Delius, the sheepdog. The bridge was barely 2 cubits wide and had no rail. Far, far below seethed the tumult of primal chaos. The only way the dog could go was straight ahead. He kept looking left, though. That was where he wanted to go. Sometimes he would raise his nose and sniff. Fionn knew there was nothing to smell out here. The air that surrounded the bridge was drawn and melted by the magics of it, from the raw chaos. It was new air, and Fionn knew that it did not exist a few paces behind them, or a few paces ahead. He was still sure Delius was following the faint trail of something. A something which even a very clever dog could best understand as scent, even if there was nothing to smell. At least he hoped that was the case, hoped with every fibre of his very ancient being. Fionn had long since given up on caring too much. He was not immortal, as far as he knew. He could certainly be killed. But compared to others, even of his own kind, the black dragon was long-lived. Time passed, and so did friends. His work was never